Well, as we told you in yesterday's broadcast, the plaintiffs in the pepper spray case against the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department and Eureka Police Department were successful in that the jury came back with a unanimous verdict saying that police had used excessive force and finding the county and the city of Eureka responsible, as well as the officers, Gary Phelps, present sheriff, and Dennis Lewis, a former sheriff of Humboldt County, liable also. Now, the one thing that was different about this compared to the FBI case was that the jury did not award any huge damages to the plaintiffs. In fact, it was what's known as nominal award, and that meant $1 each, $8 total. But the plaintiffs are very happy. They say it was never about money. But the principal, KMUD News, spoke with Spring Lundberg, the named plaintiff. She says the more she thinks about it, the happier she is with the verdict.
It's really sinking in how big of a victory it is. And, of course, there wasn't a lot of money in it for us as individual activists. But the resounding yes, this was excessive force, is very powerful, especially at these times in the U.S. when the question of civil liberties is such a huge question mark for all of us. It's our duty to try to preserve the rights that we do have, and if we don't exercise our rights, they will waste away, and we have to use them. We have to stand up to police when they break the law and cross the line, and the jury really did that for us, so I'm elated, and as much as we as a community can spread the word about this decision, that'll make the effects even stronger.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the program, law enforcement is actually getting calls from quite a few areas, so the word is spreading. What's your thought if they appeal?
I hope that the community, all the KMUD listeners and everyone in Humboldt, including myself, I hope that we can come together and put pressure on the County Board of Supervisors, the Eureka City Council, and the law enforcement agencies to not appeal this one. It would really show the bias on the part of the county and city, as well as the law firm representing them, if they appealed an $8 verdict trying to undermine what this jury said about excessive force. And the law firm represents Pacific Lumber Maxam as well, so we really have to ask ourselves, why are they pursuing this case all these years later? People haven't forgotten the story. The images are burned onto people's memories, and we thank people for carrying the memory forward all these years. It really has been an act of memory against forgetting.
And again, that was Spring Lundberg. Now, law enforcement indeed has been getting numerous calls from across the country on this, even though it didn't get that much attention in the press while the trial was ongoing. It seems the verdict made the news. Now, Dennis Cunningham is one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs. He also spoke with this reporter this Friday. We asked him what amount of money it might mean the county has to pay the plaintiffs now. Would the lawyers' fees include former trials as well?
We'll see. What the judge feels is a fair compensation in these circumstances. And in theory, you get compensated for your success, not for everything you did. So there was some non-success in the other trials. On the other hand, there was foundational work that had to be done. So it's a kind of a really the fee thing, I think, will be very complex in the sense that there's that aspect of it that dilutes whatever the claim might be. There's the fact that no damages were recovered. That dilutes it some more. It'll be up to the judge to follow through a very complex and lengthy petition in terms of laying out all the work that was done in a lot of detail, and then a kind of a complex set of legal principles that you'll have to apply in order to figure out what's fair.
At the outset of this trial, the plaintiffs kept referring to their mantra, the third time's a charm. After all, twice now this has gone before a jury, and they have not been able to come to a unanimous decision. Was there an element of surprise when the verdict was announced?
You had to be somewhat, maybe not surprised, but certainly relieved that they were able to get past the polarizing aspects of these issues, which they experienced just like the other jurors did, as far as we were told, by a couple of them who've talked to us. They had to go beyond that and work out a process where they would where they could fulfill the second obligation, which is to agree. I mean, your first obligation as a juror is to your conscience and your understanding of the facts, but the obligation to reach a verdict is equally strong. And the last couple of times, they couldn't get past that first place, and this time they did, so that's great. You know, that's important, because you could see that with such an emotional issue that you could have an awful hard time ever getting a group of Americans to come to a consensus about it.
And now on the issue of whether or not Humboldt County law enforcement will change its policies with regard to this particular kind of use of pepper spray, Dennis Cunningham says it's up to them to make that decision, but he advises that the jury's verdict and also the law as it stands with regard to the use of excessive force should give them pause to consider.
The legal principle that we thought applied have been vindicated by the verdict, just as they were basically vindicated by the Court of Appeals 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that, ranging all the way from the purely legal to the purely practical aspect of it, they should see that there's no benefit, you know, that the trouble, you use the risk-benefit analysis they're so fond of, that the risk of trouble from doing this again is far outweighs the benefits. And they've proven that by continuing to use the grinder, Estelle, for the last however many years since the last time they did this. And I know the situation is changing and still volatile. But I don't think we'll see this again. I could be wrong. I mean, if we do see it again, we'll be back in court again, you know, and we will attempt to consolidate the position as a legal matter in the wind-up phase of the litigation, so that it becomes clear that this mustn't be done, and hopefully it won't be just, you know, you don't use pepper spray with direct application. It'll be you don't use force and violence on people who are passively resisting. You know, you got to find some other way to deal with them. And if we can get that far, it will all have been worth it.
Dennis Cunningham, now law enforcement hasn't been talking much about this case since it was in litigation, but Brenda Ganey of the Sheriff's Department in Humboldt County did speak with this reporter on this Friday. She gave us their reaction to the verdict.
Clearly we're disappointed by the jury's verdict, and we'd hoped that that there would be a different decision from them. It's important to note that the jury found that the plaintiffs really didn't suffer any physical or psychological injuries, though, and they were really only awarded nominal damages. But our attorneys are still sorting out what this verdict means and, what steps the county might take.
So not clear yet whether or not the county will appeal this, then?
No, not clear yet. They're still sorting it all out.
What about the policy at the Sheriff's Department? Will this have an influence on how the Sheriff's Department will handle similar situations in the future?
Well, truthfully, that's hard to say right now. Our use of force policy is still intact, but the attorneys are certainly looking at what ramifications this verdict might have.
And again, that was Brenda Ganey of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Well, of course, everybody was waiting to see how the jurors would take the arguments in this case, and they came back with that unanimous verdict for the first time. One of those jurors was Connie Chandler. She works for a Silicon Valley consulting firm. She also spoke with this reporter on this Friday. She said all the jurors weren't on the same page to begin with. They went through it, and she told us what one of the more persuasive pieces of evidence was.
On the first tape we saw, which was the Scotia incident, I think what got them was when Vernell Spring was pepper sprayed in the face, and the way they did it to her, and the attention that seemed to focus on her primarily, and the way they held her head back, and were jerking on her arm, I think that's what got everybody you know, because I kept pointing that out to them, because some of them were not on the same page with me and two of the other jurors. So, and then some people, some of the jurors were on the fence. They could have gone either way.
What part of the testimony would you say swayed you in particular?
When I listened to everybody's, when they were on the witness stand and listening to what they went through, but I think what got me was when they had a witness on. He was a retired police officer, and he was on the witness stand for the plaintiffs and just saying that he felt that the police just were out of line. So I think that cemented it for me, but I was basically, I had a leaning towards the plaintiffs.
You know, one of the things that people say about these cases is that law enforcement officers have a lot of credibility in the courtroom. That, you know, they come in, they're the working officer, and he tells you, this is how we do it. We do it by the book. We have to do it this way. What was it like to feel that you had to listen to that kind of an explanation for this behavior and then make a decision? How was that for the jurors there? Or for you yourself?
Well, at times it was very difficult because we had some intelligent witnesses, and what they said made a lot of sense. So it was like, well, I could see some of their viewpoints, but I had to go back and look at the tapes and keep reminding myself that yes, what they said was intelligent and it might have made sense, but it was still in my eyes wrong. It was. What they did was just excessive, so it was hard to listen to them a lot of times, and sometimes I felt like maybe they weren't being real honest either.
Connie Chandler told this reporter that this is the first time she's been on this kind of a case and this kind of a jury, and she feels like it opened her eyes and it changed her in a positive manner.
I feel like I did something good. I feel like that I helped their, maybe not helped their cause, saving the redwoods, but I feel like me and the other jurors helped to set a precedent that this would never happen again, that nonviolent people should not have violence used against them. And it was nonviolent, no matter how much the defense wanted to sway us any other way, that they, you know, had to get rid of them somehow. You know, it was wrong.
And that was Connie Chandler, one of the jurors who voted in favor of the plaintiffs. Of course, that was a unanimous decision, obviously.